Times may change and governments may change. And I'm glad the Lord said, I am the Lord and I change not. Good singing, guys. I appreciate that. Take your Bibles this morning. Turn with me to Luke chapter number 23. Luke chapter number 23. Got a simple thought this morning. And I hope to be able to share with you. Luke chapter number 23. On Wednesday night, I was there Wednesday afternoon at Brother B.J. Noble's funeral over in Alabama. And just been very, very close to that family all my life. And just didn't feel like preaching the funeral and running. And to get back here for church. So I felt the Lord have me stay over and spend some time with them. And so I had Brother Todd preach on Sunday, on Wednesday night. And Brother Todd preached on glorifying God. I guess in your body, in your flesh, glorifying God. In every aspect of our life, we ought to be giving God glory and praise. Amen. Certainly in this crowd this morning. Sometimes I would like to take a bunch of spoiled, rotten Americans.
Oh, yeah.
Take them to the third world country and leave them for about a week.
Yeah.
You'd come home and kiss the ground.
Yeah.
I've been to Jamaica and saw the people where they live in little huts that we wouldn't have as a dog house. But yet that's their home. And I guarantee you, you got up griping about something this morning. Griping about the rain. Oh, is it ever, I don't know how many people I heard come in. Preacher, is it ever going to quit raining? Oh, if it don't, we'll build an ark. Amen. I know where there is one in Kentucky. We'll go commandeer that one. Amen. But if anybody's got anything to be grateful for and to glorify God for, I believe it'd be us. We've got clothes on our back and food in our belly, and we ought to be quick to glorify, praise the name of the Lord. This morning, for a few minutes, I'll read the scripture in a second, but I want to preach on this simple thought, procrastinated praise. Procrastinated praise. How many of you put off things? Come on, talk to me. You men, how about cutting grass? I have a philosophy. If I wait a week or two, there'll just be more of it. If I wait a month, I can bait it. Why do today what I can put off till tomorrow? We procrastinate and we put things off.
Amen.
The longer they're put off, the worse condition they get themselves in. Would you agree with that? You know how many times I've left church and somebody shake my hand and say, well, that was good. I almost shouted. Well, I did.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. We put off. The Bible said that if we didn't praise him, he'd get the rocks to cry out. Brother Todd talked about that on Wednesday night. I got to listen to a little bit, and that was mighty good preaching.
Amen.
This morning, I want to go a little bit different direction. In Luke chapter number 23, we are at Calvary. They've sung about it over. They had no idea what I'm preaching this morning, but seems like every song has been about the cross and about Calvary and the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they've sung about it over and over. And that's where we are in Luke chapter number 23. And a lot of times we look at the scripture and we'll look at Mary and Martha and we'll look at John and we'll look at the thief on the cross that said, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. And we'll look at the different characters. But I want to look at one this morning that you've probably not heard an awful lot about. In Luke chapter number 23, look with me at verse number 47. Luke 23 and verse 47. Say amen when you're looking at it. The Bible said, now when the centurion saw what was done, watch these next two words or three. He glorified God, saying, certainly, this was the righteous man. When the centurion saw what was done, the Bible said he glorified God, saying, certainly, this was a righteous man. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to look at this Roman soldier who had a very key or a very vital part in putting the Lord Jesus Christ to death. Now, I want you to think about something with me for just a minute. Our hearts are often hardened in proportion to the privileges that we enjoy.
Right.
Amen. Say that again. Our hearts are often hardened in proportion to the privileges we enjoy. Years ago, I don't know, actually, y'all were, when we went to Disney World the first time, they were little bitty things. And I don't know, actually, it was like maybe 15. Levi was a few years behind her. Anyway, we took Ashley, Katie, and Levi, and we went to Disney World. Now, I hadn't been to Disney World since the early 70s, when I was a little boy. And one of the things about Disney World that stood out in my mind, if you've been, you'll know what I'm talking about, it's the ride, It's a Small World.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Small World.
Yeah.
And I pumped that ride up to my kids. How about, oh, y'all got a ride, It's a Small World. And Levi's like, I want to go ride Space Mountain. Yeah, we'll do that, but you got a ride, It's a Small World. And I pumped that thing up and pumped that thing up, and we got to the ride. It's a Small World. And we got in the little boat, and the little boat goes through. It's a little slow. It's a kiddie ride with singing puppets.
Yeah.
And Levi and Ashley and Katie are like, what's the big deal? We've been to Six Flags and rode the Mind Bender. This ain't nothing to us. You see, what had happened was when I saw it, there wasn't nothing else like it.
Yeah.
But as my children came along and they saw it, they had so much more to compare to it that they didn't have the appreciation for it that I had. Are you following me this morning? If we're not careful, that's where we get in our gratefulness and our thankfulness and our praise. We become so accustomed to what we have. I've made this statement before, but I'm going to make it again. I want you to think about it. Imagine if suddenly, like Job, you lost everything you had. Every possession, your home, your vehicles, the clothes on your back, your wife, your children, your family, you lost it all. That'd be devastating. Now imagine this. Imagine suddenly you got it all back. Nothing more, nothing less. You lost it all. That thing you used to gripe about and complain about. Imagine how thankful you'd be if you got it all. My team made you tend to get to a place where you didn't seem so ungrateful, a little bit more appreciative of what you had. Let me give you another example. Let's think about the sun. We haven't seen it much today. But think about the sun. It's 109 times bigger than the earth.
Yeah.
The sun, 109 times bigger. That's huge, man. 109 times bigger than the earth. And every single day, until God changes his mind, he will have that thing rise in the east and light our side of the world. It's an amazing phenomenon. It's been happening every day for 6,000 years, but yet nobody, one of the most amazing things in the world, and nobody rushes out the door, sets up lawn chairs and picnic tables to see that amazing event.
Yeah.
That's right.
Why? Because our heart is just a sunrise.
Yeah.
Our hearts has got hardened to that. We're not careful, our hearts will get hardened to the things that God has given and done for us. In this story, we have the complete picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this story of Calvary. Now, I'm preaching to people this morning who've been in church all their life. You've heard this over and over and over and over and over.
Amen.
I've heard people leave, and they, of course, they didn't make a statement to me, but somebody else, that was just too simple. Well, if the gospel were any more complicated, we wouldn't get it. You're living today when you want to be wooed and wowed with something you've never heard. That's why people are flocking to these motivational speaker type of preachers instead of preachers that'll just preach the Word of God. And then you heard it and heard it and heard it. If you're not careful, till you're numb to it.
Yes, sir.
doesn't have that effect on you anymore. It's lost its wow factor. I'm talking about the blessings of God.
Amen.
You probably got dressed this morning, didn't think twice about how good it was to have something to put on. Matter of fact, you women probably left a pile of clothes that high laying in the bedroom floor because you was searching through your closet, dropping the high. You ain't got nothing to wear. My wife will do that, and there won't be nothing in her closet. Everything in the whole closet piled up on the bed, and her huffing and puffing. Now, what in the world's the matter with you? I ain't got nothing to wear. Well, all right, I'm gonna haul all that to the Goodwill. Can't find the shoes. There's 400 pairs in your closet. You can be any mighty mother.
Yeah.
Get hardened to the fact of all of the blessings that we have done. And when it comes to the things of the Lord, we'll do the same thing. We just get so used to seeing God move and work and hear and answer prayers and work in our midst and save our family members and our own souls. Amen. And if we're not careful, this familiarity with these things will rob us of its true greatness.
Amen.
It is a great thing to be where the Lord is.
Yeah.
And to see what the Lord is doing.
Amen.
Now something happened here that day that this centurion soldier has never seen. Something happened that caused him to change his mind.
Amen.
About how he felt about this whole situation.
Amen.
He started that day with one attitude.
Yeah.
And ended that day with a completely different outlook on how things were going. Now listen, I talked about how we can become hardened to the blessings of God. And it's so with the wonders of nature. The sun has just ceased to astonish us.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
But it still happens every single day. And since we brought up the sun, don't forget that on this day, for 3 hours, it went back. It went back.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
For 3 hours, it went completely dark. Now, this centurion soldier has seen the sunrise every day of his life. And no doubt he's probably hardened to the fact that it's just the sun coming up like it always does, like it always will. But here today, the sun goes out.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Come on,
dude.
Amen.
Something happened that day because, and here's what I'm praying, something will happen today.
Yeah.
To change the attitude that you woke up this morning. I'll be honest with you, I ain't a morning person. I don't always wake up with this chair of demeanor. I wake up coffee. You know what I'm saying? I don't wake up praising the Lord. You're out of your mind. My wife wakes up like that. I don't. And then her waking up in a chipper good mood just makes me worse. I got to say amen. I want to look at this soldier just for a few minutes this morning. And I want us to think about this thing of procrastinated praise. Wonder what it'd take to get you to praise the Lord. Wonder what it'd get to get you to truly thank God for what you have.
Amen.
We okay this morning?
Amen.
I want us to look at this centurion. You know, do you understand what a centurion is? He's not just a soldier. He's in charge. He's the one telling all the other soldiers what to do. I want us to look just for a second at his position. At his position, the centurion's position. Now, you got to think about the scene at Calvary.
Yeah.
And why people are there. Mary and John are there, the mother of Jesus, the disciple of Jesus. They're there, Brother Freddy, but they're there out of commitment to Christ. They're there out of their commitment to Him. But then there are the thieves, one on the other side of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're there out of condemnation. They're there because they deserve to be. But let's think about this centurion. He's there because of his career. He's not committed to Christ. He's not condemned. But he's there because this is his job. He didn't get out of bed that morning thinking, today I'm going to see the Son of the living God. Today I'm going to witness things I've never witnessed. No, this is just another day on the job for him. He got up that morning, he wasn't looking for anything. He wasn't looking for proof that Jesus was who he said he was. Are you listening? He got out of bed to go to work. He was there because it was his duty. He's doing his job. So we find out that he's got a career position, but Brother Charles, his position is a callous position.
Yes, sir.
You know what the word callous means? It means hardened, crusted over. When you first start playing the guitar, it'll kill the end of your fingers, but the more you play, you'll develop calluses on the end of your fingers so that you don't even feel those strings anymore. It gets hardened to it. I'm preaching to some callous hearts this morning. This guy was a Roman centurion. To do his job, he had to have a callous heart. You know what his job was? Kill me. That was his job. Can you imagine getting up every morning? Well, I wonder who I'll torture today. I don't mean setting up in a sniper's tower somewhere and shooting somebody 800 yards away. I don't mean flying a fighter jet and dropping a bomb on people that you'll never see. I'm talking about brutally, brutally. David probably came home with the blood of men on him most days. He's a hard man. A callous position. Listen, Rome could not have a centurion with a weak stomach.
Amen.
Or a soft heart. His position was a career position. It was his job. You know what he was doing? What he was told.
Yes.
He was following orders. Kill him.
Amen.
Kill him. Don't kill him like you're killing him other two. Kill him extra.
Yeah. Amen.
Go the extra mile to make sure he suffers more than any we've ever seen or ever will see again.
Amen.
That was his job. It was a calloused position, but it was a contrary position. He may not have realized it at first, but Rome and those that are in charge gave him a front row seat of the gospel.
Yeah.
The Bible said in Mark chapter number 15 and verse number 39, and when the centurion who stood over against him saw. What I'm trying to tell you was what he saw changed his perspective. What he saw that day changed his entire mind about what he saw, what he witnessed, and what went on around us.
Yes.
We see his standing. The Bible said he stood over against him. He was contrary to him. He wasn't on the Lord's side. He was the Lord's enemy. But yet he left that day glorifying God.
Amen.
He was there to ensure that Christ died.
Amen.
That was his main objective that day. That was his order. You see to it that one don't walk away.
Amen.
You see to it this one don't come down. You see to it this one is dead. That was his job. Are we all right?
Yeah.
He didn't start the day glorifying God. He didn't get up that morning and say, well, hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that I'm alive. Thank you, Lord, I get to live another day. Thank you, Lord, for the many blessings of my life. He didn't get up that way. And by the way, most of you didn't either. You ever been around somebody that wake up singing? I hate them. I mean, they just wake up. I said, shut up. That's just not how that's not how I wake up. And most of us don't wake up that way either. I wake up slowly. Snooze. Wham! Going against the wall. Have y'all looked at it? We don't start the day that way. Our flesh wakes up not praising God. Why? Because it don't want to. And here's what must happen. Something must convince it.
Uh-huh.
Something must persuade it but God's word of our purpose. Whether we had a good night's sleep or whether we tossed and turned all night long. Whether we woke up with a sinus headache that big or woke up running a fever, it doesn't matter. God's still God. And we need something to convince us every single day that He's worthy of our worship and He's worthy of our praise.
Amen.
And we need something to convince us of that. It's all how we look at it, isn't it? I don't care who you are this morning. I don't care what your background is. You probably woke up this morning, and if you'd be real honest, if you would look around, God has put plenty in your path to convince you that He's been good to you.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm sitting in church with my wife this morning. Amen. We've been married 34 years.
Amen.
That's a miracle.
Amen.
That's a miracle. She left me many, many, many years ago. Amen. She's put up with me for 34 years. That's a big deal.
Praise God.
But you know what? I hadn't thanked God for that today. I didn't thought about it until I just said it. My children are in church. This morning, my daughter just sang a minute ago. My son-in-law played the piano. My granddaddy used to sit there smiling at me. Woo, I'm not getting excited this morning. I ain't got to go down to the jailhouse this afternoon and visit my son. No, I know where he's at. He's preaching in his church in Rockmart this morning. I'm glad God's been good to me. What I'm saying is that flesh needs something every day to put us in the right perspective to look around and say, man, look, it ain't as bad as I thought it was. Some of you will get up in the morning and you'll gripe all the way to work about that job. I hate my job. Go swap places with that guy under the bridge on 920. Just go down there and pull up and say, here's the keys to my car. Here's where I work. Here's my job. Here's the keys to my house. Let's just switch places.
Yeah. Bless
him. I bet he won't even think about it. He'll snatch your arm off taking them keys out of your hand. You got it better than you think you did.
Yeah.
Listen, we all have bad days. I do. You do. The Bible said it rains on the just and the unjust. Every day, if we'll look around, we'll find something to glorify God.
Amen.
We saw His position, but His perspective. Everything He's heard and seen about this man says he's guilty. He's guilty of blasphemy. Everything He's seen. Maybe we look at it and think, man, he should have realized who he is dealing with. Well, everything he's seen says otherwise. We tend to follow the crowd. We tend to follow the courts.
Amen.
You got to pay attention now. When they brought Christ to power to judge him, this guy was there. This guy was there. He witnessed the whole thing. He heard the angry mob crying, crucify, crucify, let his blood be on our hands. He was there.
Yes.
He saw every bit of that. A bloodthirsty mob with hatreds in their heart. You know, probably in this guy's mind, if his own people.
Right. Come on.
If his own people want him dead, he must really be bad.
Yeah. Come on.
Are you listening? And then there's the courts. He was a centurion. He was a soldier in charge of soldiers. We learned from another centurion in the Bible that these guys were men of great authority. Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 9, the centurion said, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he come, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. This was a man of authority. He understood that Pilate could have at any time chose to release the Lord. He did not have to submit to those screaming crucified. His boss, his authority, chose to have him executed, even scourged, beat beyond recognition.
Yeah. Right.
So imagine, not only did the crowd influence his mind, but then the courts influenced his mind. If my boss will have this man scourged and crucified, it must be bad. Everything in this centurion's life, and I'll be done in a minute if you'll stay with me. Everything in his life, Brother Brian, is leading him away from putting his trust in the one he's nailed to the cross. All the evidence is stacking up against him. He listened to the crowd. He listened to the courts. But then there was Christ himself. Then there was Christ himself.
Yes.
I don't know if the centurion drove the nails, but I know he watched.
Yeah.
I don't know if he swung the whip, but I know he was there. I don't know if he planted or placed the crown of thorns on his head, but I know he witnessed it. He saw it all. I imagine he was standing there as the Lord begins to speak from the cross. What's he going to say? Is he going to call for those legions of angels to come and take him down? This man who put him on the cross is standing there as he opens his mouth and says, Father, forgive them.
Yes,
for they know not what they do. I imagine for the first time today that centurion soldier says, whoa. Wait. I've put many a man on the cross. I've crucified men. That's my job. I am an executioner, but never have a hung one up there. And have him look at the crowd who put him there.
Yes, sir. Come on, preacher.
Say forgive them. Well, something different about this guy.
Amen.
Crowd couldn't convince him, and the court couldn't convince him, but whoa, what's up with this? He heard it. He watched as they looked at that thief hanging beside him who said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.
Amen.
And he heard him look to him and say, today shalt thou be in your paradise. He was standing there as he looked down at Mary, his mother, and said, Mary, go home with John. John, take care of my mama.
Amen.
He was standing there. And Jesus said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost.
Yes, sir.
And all of a sudden, something that had never happened before in this man's lifetime happened. Mm-hmm. It went pitch black dark.
Come on.
During the day.
Right.
And the earth quaked.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
And the rocks rent.
Amen.
What the crowd couldn't convince. What the courts couldn't convince. Christ did convince.
That's right.
Amen.
It caused this man's perspective to totally change. What did he say? Surely, this was the Son of God.
Yes, sir.
Surely, this was the Son of God.
Yes, sir.
He saw his position, his perspective, but thank God for his praise.
Yes.
His praise was certain. There wasn't no doubt about it.
Yes.
He said his praise was certain. There ain't no doubt about it. We'll leave here on Sunday and people will look around and say, man, them people were praising God. It ought to be certain who we're praising.
Yes,
amen. We're not praising some CCM Christian rock band this morning. We're not flicking our dick like we were at some kind of concert. We are worshiping the Lord Jesus. Give him honor.
Praise
God. Love that song the ladies sing, our ensemble, You Are God Alone. Man, that crowd ain't worshiping a preacher. That crowd's worshiping the Lord.
Amen.
We're thankful to God for what he's done. Well, his praise was certain. Luke says it actually uses the word certain.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Mark and Matthew uses the word truly. This was the Son of God. In other words, there was no bones about it. He didn't back up after the sun went dark. He didn't back up after the earthquake and the rock went and rent and said, well, maybe.
Come on, preacher.
That makes me wonder. No, he said, truly. Certainly. No doubt about it. That's him. Something happened that day. Caused him. He is 100% sure. 100% percent convinced that this man was the Son of God. Maybe you procrastinated praising God because you ain't got it figured out or you're not sure.
That's right.
Yeah.
Like I said, people say, preacher, I felt like shouting them. I didn't. You don't have a problem with it at the t-ball field.
Yeah.
Over a 5-year-old who knocked the ball off a stick and run the third base. Mamas will lose their mind.
Oh, yeah.
When's the last time you lost your mind over having a 5-year-old?
That's right.
When's the last time you rejoiced and gave God the glory because you got a healthy child?
That's right.
Well, I'm telling you, we ought to be thankful God's been good to us.
Yes, amen.
His praise was certain. He didn't make no bones about it. Not only that, his praise was central. It wasn't all by itself. The Bible said, I believe it was in Matthew, I'll find it here in just a second, one of the places, it says, him and they that were with him. You say, well, preacher, maybe I ain't praising God because I ain't got it all figured out yet. You think he did? You think he did? Brother Todd, I don't think he knew all the doctrines of the Bible. He hadn't read the teachings of Paul and Peter. He hadn't read all these things. He had no idea. All he knew was enough to give glory to God.
Yes.
All he did know was surely this man who he said he was.
Yes, sir.
He didn't make no bones about it. And as he didn't make no bones about it, others joined in. Amen. Listen, if you would get thankful and give God glory, maybe them spoiled, rotten kids might start to be able to.
Yes.
You give God glory.
Yeah.
We told the story over and over. I stole it from Brother Freddie. I don't know who he stole it from. But there's a story about a preacher riding down the road. He passed this little black family, little black lady, and had a bunch of kids. They was walking down the side of the street. You could tell from looking at them, they were very poor. Said the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart and said, turn around, go give that lady $50. He just kept driving. He said, Lord, you know I've got $50. You know that's all I've got. He just kept driving. The Holy Spirit got stronger and stronger. Turn around and go give her that $50. Finally, begrudging, preacher turned around. He went back and handed that lady a $50 bill. He said, I don't know why, but the Lord said, give you $50. He got in his truck and began to drive away. He looked in his rearview mirror. That little lady and all them kids were standing in the middle of the road shouting and praising God.
Amen.
Saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
He said, then the Holy Spirit said, if you had acted like that when I gave it to you, I'd let you keep it.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
We sure got a lot to be thankful for. What's it going to take to get you to praise the Lord and thank the Lord for what he's done?
Yeah.
Maybe you're looking around at all the negatives. Maybe you need some proof today like this guy here. I don't think the sun's going to go black. I'm not looking for an earthquake or rocks to me, Brother Todd.
That's right. Yeah.
And you know what? I don't need that.
Amen.
I don't need that.
Amen.
I'm looking at Ashley Hawk.
Yeah.
And them babies that ought not to be here.
That's right.
And I'm looking around this room with so many answered prayers.
Yes.
Glory
to God.
I sat there this morning listening to Miss Doug sing in that choir and give God. It wasn't too long ago the world had given up on her.
Amen.
I don't need the sun to go dark.
Amen.
All I've got to do is look at the second row and see my grandbabies.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Amen.
Laying on the couch the other day, Caroline come curled up under me. She said, I want to lay with you, Papa.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You don't need the sun to go dark either.
That's right.
That's right.
Because you don't have to look very far yourself to see how good God's been to you. Little Todd, y'all come and get a song. Let me ask you a question this morning. Has He blessed you in spite of you?
Yes.
He has.
Yes.
He's been good to me, and I don't deserve a single bit of that. Let's stand to our feet this morning. I wonder if somebody might come find you a place on this altar and say, God, I just want to thank you.
Amen.
I just want to praise you. Amen. Who you are and what you've done in my life.
Amen.
And you want to come and say, Lord, I realize you who you said you loved, and I need you. I need you in my heart.
Lord,
they're going to sing this morning. All they do is just bow our heads. Have a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning in Jesus. Thank you, God, for a great day. Lord, it may be gloomy outside. Thank you for the sun shining through you. Lord, thank you for the blessings, God, that we so easily take for granted every single day. Lord, I'm glad we can stand this morning and say, sure, you are the Son of God. Lord, thank you for loving us, caring for us, hearing our prayer. God, thank you for the many, many blessings you've given us. Have your way in us all, God, this morning. Father, we'll thank you. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, go ahead.